Welcome to our service for the fourth Sunday after Trinity. Something which looks suspiciously like sunshine is streaming through the window as I speak, not before time. We begin with the hymn which we know is a favourite of our new curate, Fran. She chose it for her licensing service. Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. Time of penitence. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross many sons are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the fourth Sunday after Trinity. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Job, chapter 38. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man, I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, Thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stopped. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The New Testament reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6. As we work together with Christ, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labours, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honour and dishonour, in ill repute and good repute. We were treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. I return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Living Word.
the words that I speak, and the meditations of all our hearts, be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was a student in Oxford, I did some volunteering work at the night shelter in the city, coming into contact for the first time with men, mostly men, who were destitute and living on the street. One of the surprising things about the shelter was what a violent place it was. You might have thought that all these men, having so much in common, might at least have found in the night shelter people in the same position who were able to sympathise with each other. But the opposite was true. Violence could break out over the most trivial of disputes, about a bed or a mattress, even about a plate or a spoon. Most of the time, the attempts at violence were pathetic. The men had no great physical strength left in bodies which had been ruined by drink and rough living. But we had at least one stabbing, and when, slightly later, we began to see larger groups of younger homeless people, violence would break out between the two groups, those who'd been on the streets for years, and the younger, stronger ones. What seemed to me to lead to the violence, in both young and old, was a deep-seated anger at the state in which they found themselves. But I gradually came to the conclusion that that anger was directed principally inwards. They were angry not so much with other people or with society, but with themselves. The violence was not exactly for show, but it was always obvious enough that it could get them banned from the shelter for some nights, or even sent to the police cells. It seemed to me that at some level they carried out these acts of violence in order to be punished, to punish themselves. Such was the depth of their despair and their self-loathing. As I reflected on those experiences, one part of the Bible came alive for me in a new way. Those angry chapters in the book of Psalms, which we call Psalms of Individual Lament or Complaint. They're stylized, of course, for use in worship, but nonetheless they resonate with a deep-seated anger and despair on the part of the psalmist. Perhaps the most famous is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. Or again, of course, the great beginning of Psalm 130, De Profundis, out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. There are days for all of us that feel like that, and it's good that they are represented in the scriptures, or else the Bible could not so fully reflect the breadth and depth of our human experience. And these thoughts are prompted by today's epistle reading, where the Apostle Paul reflects, for the benefits of his hearers in Corinth, upon his experience of ministry. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we've commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labours, sleepless nights, hunger. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. Hardships, calamities, beatings, sleepless nights, treated as impostors, On the whole, we tend not to tell people in Fran's position, a new curate starting out in ministry, that there are some days when ministry will feel like that. Mercifully, of course, the very real and frightening violence and persecution to which Paul and all the apostles were subjected is not part of the minister's experience today. Nonetheless, one can more or less guarantee that there will be some days in Fran's ministry that feel like that, and she may well come to be glad to discover, if she's not done so already, that the experiences of the minister's bad day are represented with such deep feeling in the scriptures. How could it not be so, after all, when our great example in ministry, Lord Jesus himself, suffered so much on our behalf? The writer to the Hebrews puts it, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I think we all know that the course to which Fran has committed herself is an arduous one, especially so early in her ministry. We consider ourselves very fortunate to have found a new vicar designate of such obvious talent and capability. But do not underestimate the support which she will need from you, just as much as you will need the pastoral support which comes from her. As well as the consolations of the scriptures and of the spiritual life, all Christians, including ministers, and perhaps especially ministers, need the support of their brothers and sisters in their work. "Bear ye one another's burdens," writes the apostle, and so fulfil the law of Christ. But it would be wrong to end this account of the perplexities and difficulties of ministry without mentioning the other side of the coin. The full quotation from our epistle today is, "We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, punished yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything." It's the second part of each of those little phrases which speaks of the rewards of ministry, which Fran can similarly expect to have in her faithful service of Christ. Not impostors but true, not dying but alive, not sorrowful but rejoicing, making many rich, and possessing everything. It's been one of the great sadnesses of our recent experience to see our previous Bishop Joanna losing the joy of her ministry. You'll often hear me pray when I'm doing the intercessions, and I pray for those who are ministers in the church, that despite all the hard work and the other kinds of difficulty which modern ministry brings with it, they will still be able to find the joy in ministry which gave them their sense of vocation in the first place. As a minister, you find those joys and those riches in many different kinds of places. In church services, certainly, but also beside a hospital bed. In a fellowship group, but also in a night shelter or a food bank. There can be a price to pay for being a minister, but being a minister can repay you 1,000-fold. So we pray that it will be for Fran, that not being wealthy, she may yet make many rich, that not having much in worldly terms, she may yet possess everything in the kingdom of heaven. For this is the way of the cross, the way which Jesus himself walked, for the joy that was set before him. Amen. Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea. We begin as usual with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In ta dodhonoite na nevoith, sanctedia de enu, dele de dernas, gunella de wethlis, megis en enev, vethli aradhe ar hevid. Dodoni heddio in bara benoviol, a maddain I en deledion, vel a maddeion ina in deledwyr. Ac nac arwenir brofedigaeth, eitho gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesau. Amen.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord, among the busyness and bustle of the world, help us to be still and attentive to your presence. Keep our ears open to your call. Keep our hearts open to your love. Make our minds sensitive to your coming, that we may ever rejoice that we dwell in you and you are in us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. We pray for our democracy. Heavenly Father, in the midst of campaigns and elections, both in this country and around the world, we give thanks for the democracy alive in our country and the freedoms we have to worship you. Whichever party is successful on July the 4th, we pray that those elected and all in positions of power and authority will govern wisely and for the common good of all. And as we commemorated the D-Day landings earlier this month, remind us, Lord, of the sacrifices made by our fathers and grandfathers as they fought and died for the freedoms we too often take for granted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our world. Father, we pray for you to raise up a generation of leaders with the courage to take responsibility for our changing climate and the part we have played in it. We pray for leaders who will be willing to act justly, so that those who have contributed so little to the problems we are facing are not left to shoulder our burden. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the needs of the world. Especially, we pray for those who are in the darkest places, enduring the ravages of war. We pray especially for the people of Ukraine, of Israel-Palestine, of the Sudan, and the many other places where there is ongoing civil war and unrest. We pray for the people of Gaza, suffering with little food or water. We pray for those who work to feed and shelter those who need it most. We pray for the work of the United Nations, the Red Cross, and all the other aid agencies. We pray for courage and patience for those involved in peace negotiations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember this morning all those who are sick, sad, or lonely, and those who are going through difficult and stressful times. We pray for those known to us, and in a moment of quiet, we name them in our hearts. We pray that they may be aware of your comforting presence and know that in your hands they are safe and loved. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, we ask you to help all who have lost a loved one in recent months and who are struggling in the darkness of grief. May they know moments of peace in their pain, moments of joy in their memories, and moments of hope in your love. Let them be assured that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.